No, you will not make that salary.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. There is word this morning the Obama administration is considering sweeping changes to the way the financial industry compensates its employees. And I do not just mean the banks that got bailout money. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us. Jeremy, what's the big idea?
Well, the idea, Bill, is that you'd have the Federal Reserve and the Securities and Exchange Commission in charge of this, and they'd be able to say, hey, financial institution, the way that you're paying your employee is threatening the health of the entire economy, so you have to stop. Just the way they can say, hey, you can't borrow that much money to make an investment because if it goes bust, it could put us all at risk.
Well, but salaries might be outrageous, but they are a tiny fraction of a bank's capital. How can they threaten the economy?
Well, think about the way we got into this mess. We had all these mortgages. They're packaged up and sold off as mortgage-backed securities. And every time there was a short-term gain, the people who did all these deals are getting a commission. And the Obama administration has argued that that kind of a short-term incentive actually entice people to make bad decisions that put us in the place we are now.
So, Jeremy, all of these banks trying to return the TARP money to avoid the compensation limits, they're going to get regulated anyway?
Yeah, they might get regulated anyway. And not only them, but some of the guys who are not regulated right now. Hedge funds and private equity firms may be a part of this regulation package from the administration. And by the way, that has been one of the arguments all along, that that's the place where these employees are going to go if they can't get paid what they want to get paid at the banks. They'll go off to hedge funds and private equity firms. Now, if those are part of the regulation package, that changes the argument that Wall Street's been making.
Jeremy Hobson in New York, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Macy's reports earnings today, and like most retailers, it's expected to show a loss. But that was last quarter. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite wanted to know, have retail sales begun to turn around?
April sales got a lift from good weather and Easter spenders. Rob Plaza is a retail analyst with Zacks Investment Research. He says spring isn't in the air for retailers. For one thing, unemployment is high. For another,
the people that are still employed, they're not seeing wages increase the way that we have in the past several years. And that's part of the other part of the equation that gets consumers to go and spend on discretionary items.
Plaza says retailers' first quarter earnings will be better than many analysts expected, but that's because they've been adjusting to match the new shopping reality.
Massive firings, closing stores, pretty much reducing their cost structure.
He says if sales stay flat, chains will continue to make those cuts. That'll mean less competition and could lead to higher prices. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Major European markets are slightly lower now. Asian markets were mixed on the day. Wall Street was mixed yesterday, with the Dow gaining 50 points. Foreclosures inched up again last month. Realty Track says today more than 342,000 households got a foreclosure notice. That's a third more than last year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media brings you four documentaries about the economic crisis, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
For the last century, the American dream has included the automobile, the mobility of the car, the independence, the pollution, the traffic, the suburbia. This week, we're bringing you a series called Next American Dream, and we're looking overseas. Dinesh Mohan is a transportation expert at India's Institute of Technology. Professor Mohan, your country is beginning to embrace the car. What's that doing to Indian life?
The embrace of the car dominates all town planning and upper-class thinking. And they think that if you get a modern car into your society, all your problems are solved.
By the way, I'm trying to picture this. Americans, we mostly hear about the Tata Nano.
Yes.
I have no idea how representative that is. Are all your cars itty-bitty?
Our largest proportion of cars sold in India is the smallest car sold in the world. which is slightly bigger than the Nano.
So how important is that? Does that mean that, that India, do you think, can avoid some of the downsides, the congestion and pollution, and even the psychic place that the car holds in America? It's a it's like a house going down the road. Maybe it's a very different relationship there.
No, I think it has to do with income. So yes, the top 5% of the Indian population will behave like Americans. The next 10 to 15% would like to behave like them. And the other 70% don't have a hope in hell to behave like Americans. But, you know, 10% is a very, very large amount. That's 100 million.
Right.
So to answer your question about which direction we'll go in, as far as congestion is concerned, in the last 100 years, that problem hasn't been solved. And I don't think it will be, because car owners have a disease called congestionitis. And they're not happy until they create congestion. And every time we reduce congestion, we increase pollution. Because you decrease congestion by making more roads.
And pollution? Where is that going?
See, what's happening is that because of our poverty, most Indians don't travel long distances. Lower middle class Indians or poor Indians live close to their work, so they don't need public transport, they don't need fuel, they don't pollute. It's the middle class, upper middle class, because they're highly educated, so they may or may not find work close to their home. Our large city, say New Delhi, is say as large, and its surroundings are as large as LA. But we are not like LA. People don't go from everywhere to everywhere. And so we all operate within 10 kilometers of our surroundings. We may be very large, but we don't behave like American cities. And it's not because we are nicer people, it's just we are poorer.
Professor Dinesh Mohan at the Indian Institute of Technology in New Delhi. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can learn more about the ideas in our Next American Dream series. Come visit us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.